you very much. We're looking at Daniel chapter 7 this evening, seventh chapter of the book of Daniel. I'm going to begin reading at verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten kings out of this kingdom are, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, and times, and the dividing of times. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion and consume and to devour it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, because I kept the matter in my heart. The Lord will add a blessing to the reading and to the meditating on his precious word this evening. With chapter 7, the second half of the book of Daniel begins. The first six chapters are historical in nature, recounting the events of Daniel and his three companions. This is especially true in chapter 1 and again in 3. But not without prophetic revealings, and especially in chapter 2, where Nebuchadnezzar has the vision of a great image of a man, and then Daniel's interpretation of that image. That image had a head of gold, breasts and arms of silver, a belly and thighs of bronze, and legs of iron, and feet and toes of iron and clay. And then Daniel, in Nebuchadnezzar, in that vision, saw a stone cut out without hands. That's in chapter 2, verse 34. And it was formed by God without human assistance, and it moved swiftly toward earth, and smote the image upon its feet, and crushed it to pieces, and reduced it to powder. And the stone then became a great mountain, and it filled the earth. And the mountain is a picture of the kingdom of God in a coming day, revealing that with the destruction of the image, picture of the great Gentile world rules, by one from heaven, the stone, the Lord Jesus, he will conquer the armies of the world when he comes the second time from heaven, and he will establish his everlasting kingdom. The Lord Jesus prayed, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And this is what this is talking about. So in chapters 1 to 6, although primarily historical, not completely, certainly with chapter 2 with the image. But when we come to chapters 7 to 12, they are primarily prophetical. The revelations in these chapters are not given in chronological order as they are in the first 6. For instance, the vision given to Daniel here in chapter 7 of 4 great beasts was given to him in the first year of Belshazzar, about 553 AD. The vision in chapter 8 of the ram and he-goat, which we'll have a look at the next time I come, was given to him in the third year of the reign of Belshazzar. Both of these visions were given to Daniel well before the destruction of Babylon by Darius and the Medes and the Persians in 537 BC. So they're not in chronological order. The vision of the 70 weeks for Israel was given to Daniel in the first year of Darius in chapter 9, verse 1. But it was given to Daniel before he was cast into the lion's den. And then the vision of the glory of God in chapters 10 and 11 was given in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. These visions given to Daniel and the interpretation contain remarkable prophetic truths and cover the entire period known as the times of the Gentiles, when the Gentiles rule the world. It began with the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar's army and will last until the second coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting to note that both the Gentiles and Israel pass through this period, but there is no mention of the church, nor the age of grace in which we live today. It is also worthy to note that the book of Daniel was written in two different languages. Chapter 1 to verse 3 of chapter 2, it was written in Hebrew by Daniel. Chapter 2, verse 4 to chapter 7, verse 28, it was written by Daniel in Aramaic, the language of Babylon. And then chapter 8 to the end of the book was written again in Hebrew. The first section, chapter 1 up to verse 3 of chapter 2, talks about the fall of Jerusalem and of the departure of the Jewish people, such as Daniel, to Babylon. So it was written in Hebrew. It had to do with the Jew. The second section relates to details and events which have to do with the Gentiles, especially chapter 2, verse 4, and also chapter 7, referring to the times of the Gentiles, and so it was written in Aramaic. The third section is largely about the Jewish people, beginning with chapter 8, and their place in the prophetic plan. And in these chapters, it was God's purpose to reveal to Daniel that which will happen to the Jewish people during the times of the Gentiles, and so it was written in Hebrew. Fascinating. And so we begin in verse 1 of chapter 7. And in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a vision, had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. The year was 553 BC. It was the first year of Belshazzar's reign. And he received the vision in a dream. Daniel had been set aside by Belshazzar. Belshazzar had no time for Daniel. And so Daniel devoted his time to prayer and to writing. And here he received this vision in a dream, and he wrote the sum of the matter, the essential features, the gist of the matter, regarding the vision. And the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea, verse 2. Most suggest the Mediterranean, and I would concur with that, because all four Gentile world powers reached here. And it's out from the troubled Gentile nations that four nations were going to rise one after the other and achieve world dominion. The Bible was prophesying this. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now we know from verse 17 that these are both kingdoms and kings. The four beasts here correspond to the four body parts in Nebuchadnezzar's image of chapter 2. Both visions were God-given and God-explained. In chapter 2, these four world powers are presented in a stately, impressive way. The image of a man. It was glistening. It was a beautiful image that Nebuchadnezzar saw. It was presented from a human standpoint. In chapter 7, Daniel sees four wild beasts. What we have in 7 is the divine view of these four world empires. The first beast here in 7:4 was like a lion with eagle's wings. It corresponds to the head of gold of Belshazzar's, or of Nebuchadnezzar's image. In fact, Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, "Thou, O king, art this head of gold." Both the lion and the head of gold represent the first Gentile world empire, Babylon, displayed in great strength and swiftness that was able to conquer nations, including Israel. But in time, it would decline and be defeated by the second Gentile world empire, the empire of the Mede and of the Persian. And it is like a bear, verse 5. Not as regal as the lion. Slower and ponderous, but very strong. And it overpowered the lion, led by Darius. The head of gold surrendered to the beast. I'm sorry, to the breast and arms of silver of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Silver is not as valuable as gold. And so there was a marked deterioration in quality of this second world empire. Indeed, Darius had to obey his own law. He could not release Daniel. He was subject to the law of the Medes and the Persians. Nebuchadnezzar was not. So we see a weakening in the government of the Mede and of the Persian. And then the third beast in verse 6 is like a leopard. A leopard is slighter than the lion and slighter than the bear. Still powerful, but very swift and fierce. The lion devours. The bear, it crushes. The leopard, it springs upon its prey. And the Grecian Empire under Alexander did that. It overcame its enemies with a swiftness unprecedented in world warfare to that time. The fourth beast got Daniel's attention. After this, verse 7, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. It caused Daniel great concern. It caused him to be afraid. It's interesting to note that both the nation and its leader are depicted as beasts, not men. That each would be bestial, bloodthirsty, barbaric, cruel. What was true then will be true in the age yet to come, in the tribulation period. This fourth beast is nondescript. It's not compared to any wild animal. Daniel knew about the lion. He knew about the bear. He knew about the leopard, but not this one. It does correspond to the legs of iron and to the feet, part of iron and part of clay. In verse 7, it says of this beast that it had 10 horns, which would correspond to the 10 toes of Daniel 2:42. I would submit that it depicts the Roman Empire that conquered Greece under Caesar. Except the beast had 10 horns. 7:7. But the Roman Empire of Caesar's day did not have 10 kingdoms in it, ruled over by 10 kings. It had one ruler and one kingdom. So what we have here is an aspect of prophecy not yet fulfilled. Scripture is teaching that in a coming age, once the church is raptured, there will be a revival of the Roman Empire, but in a new form. It will be a 10-nation confederacy. It will be in place just before the Lord Jesus comes the second time to establish his kingdom. And what really got Daniel's attention was that little horn, which comes up out from among the 10 horns of verse 8. It will be a man with eyes like a man's eyes and a mouth speaking great things, blasphemous words. Here we are given a prophetic revealing of the coming world leader, the little horn, the Antichrist of a coming day, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked one. Those are all descriptors that Paul gives us concerning this little horn. The beast out of the sea of Revelation 13:1. The Bible says that this man is going to rise quickly to power by uprooting 3 of the 10 kingdoms. How he's going to do it, I do not know, but he's going to take them down. And he's going to rule over the remaining 7. Because he now has the power of 3 kingdoms, he's going to be a powerful ruler. With verse 9, the scene changes from the earthly to the heavenly, where thrones were placed in position in preparation for the judgment of this world at the end of the tribulation period. The judge enters and he sits, and his name is the Ancient of Days. It speaks of his eternal existence, the self-existent one who has been viewing the sinful activities of wicked men from his throne on high. And he's about to render his judgment and to give the crown and to give royal authority, indeed the right to rule, to the rightful king, the Lord Jesus. Verse 10, and the judgment was set, and the judge sat, and the books were open. As I was reading this, I asked myself, does God keep a record of the deeds of all men? And the answer is yes, he does. John says in Revelation 20:12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. Every sin that anybody commits is recorded under their name. And these are going to be evidence when the final judgment is given. Verse 11, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke. The fearful blasphemies of this wicked one will bring upon him the undiluted wrath of God. Both he and his false prophet will be thrown alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, Revelation 19:19. They will be the first ones to be cast into the lake of fire to suffer eternal punishment. I beheld even till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Verse 13, and I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Here in this night vision, Daniel views the glory of the Son of Man, the appearing of the last world ruler, the fifth ruler, the Son of Man, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the climax of the vision given to Daniel, presenting the goal of all history, the second coming of the Son of Man from heaven, invested with authority from God to take the kingdom of this world from the Gentile leader, from the Antichrist, and to establish his kingdom on the earth. the fulfillment of the promise found in Psalm 2, where the Ancient of Days says to the Son in verse 8, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Verse 14, "And there was given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." This is the climactic, the triumphant moment of the prophetic scriptures. Here we see the Lord Jesus coming again, the second time, in a cloud, with power and great glory, to conquer his foes and to sit on the throne of this world and to reign and to rule. He's going to sit on his throne in a coming day. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The night vision ends, but Daniel is greatly affected by this vision. He had been looking for the coming of the Messiah that the scriptures had promised would come to reign with his reign of peace and prosperity for his people Israel. But now, having been given this vision of the four beasts, Babylon being the first, he realized that a long, dark future lay ahead for the Jewish people. And it grieved him. And he realized there would be four great world empires which would succeed each other before the times of the Gentiles would come to an end. And he realized the end of Gentile world rule and the establishment of Messiah's kingdom was a long way off. And it troubled him. It troubled him greatly. So in verse 16, I came near unto one of them that stood by, probably an angel. Till now, Daniel had been the interpreter of Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. But now he seeks help for the meaning of his own vision. And so he approaches one of the angels and he asks the truth of all this, verse 16. "And so he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, verse 17, which are four kings who shall arise out of the earth." So the Bible teaches that there will be four kings, four earthly empires that will rule the world, as opposed to the fifth, which will not be of this world. John 18, verse 36. Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, Medo-Persia under Darius and then Cyrus, Greece under Alexander, and Rome, the Roman Empire, under the Caesars. Verse 18, "But the saints of the Most High shall receive or take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." This is that fifth kingdom over which Christ will rule. This is the millennial kingdom, and it goes on into the eternal rule of God, which follows the millennium. Verse 19, "Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others." He had no trouble understanding the meaning of the first three beasts. But the fourth one, this fourth beast, gave him trouble. He didn't understand it. It was exceedingly terrible, shocking. It had teeth of iron, claws of brass, and it devoured and it broke in pieces and trampled what was left with its feet, verse 19. And he wanted to know about this terrible, ferocious fourth beast, and especially about the ten horns in its head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, which looked greater than the other horns. It looked more imposing. It looked stronger. He expresses an interest in this fourth beast and about its ten horns and of the other which came up and before whom three fell. In verse 8, the little horn But here, it's not a little horn. It is more stout. It is more sturdier than the 10 horns. This one is projecting himself into a place of prominence and power above his contemporaries. Daniel in verse 21 says, I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. He shows his hatred for the saints by declaring war on them and conquering them, prevailing against them. This is new to Daniel, and he wanted to know more. Commenting on this time and events, John writes of this person, of the Antichrist, the little horn, and it was given unto him, this one, to make war with the saints, Revelation 13:7, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. The Bible teaches that during the tribulation, this beast out of the sea, this Antichrist, he is going to persecute the Lord's people. He is going to harass, he's going to hunt, he's going to hound, he's going to imprison, he's going to execute any who name the name of Christ. Till when? Verse 22. Till the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given. It was passed in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. The Bible teaches that the suffering of the saints will continue until the Lord Jesus, the Ancient of Days, comes and brings deliverance to them. And he will stop the attack upon the saints. And he will administer judgment on the Antichrist and on his armies. And he will establish his kingdom. The angel will now respond to Daniel's request regarding the truth concerning the fourth beast that we read of in verse 19. And so in verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be different, which shall be diverse from all the other kingdoms, and it shall devour the whole earth. What the Bible is teaching is that this fourth kingdom is going to rule the world for a short time. And he shall tread it down and he shall break it in pieces. Now, we know that the fourth beast is the Roman Empire of the historic period ruled over by the Caesars. But it never conquered the whole world. It held sway from the Atlantic to the Euphrates, but not beyond. But when the Roman Empire is revived, which will occur in the last days, before the Lord's return, it's going to do that. It's going to form a confederacy, a union of 10 kingdoms and of 10 kings. This was never the case with the Roman Empire. It had one ruler. It had one empire ruled by Caesar. But here the Bible teaches that this fourth world empire is going to revive, and it's going to have 10 nations in a confederacy. Revealing an inherent weakness seen today in the European common market. It can't bring themselves to take the final step of surrendering individual sovereignty. Even as we speak tonight, this is the problem facing France. Are they going to remain in the European common market, or are they going to withdraw like Britain has done? Nor will they. Until another shall rise, verse 24, after them, and he shall be different. Others will content to be equal. We're going to get along. We'll just remain in our own nation, our own kingdom. But not this one. He will wish to be the chief ruler over one empire. The revived Roman Empire. The Roman Empire of Caesar's day, today is Europe. And this is what he's after. And the Bible says that in the tribulation period, he's going to act swiftly and deliberately. And he will strike down 3 kingdoms, making himself more powerful than any of the other 7. And he will assume control, not only over the 3 that he has brought down, but over the whole 10 of them. And they will now take orders from him. And from here, For a short time, he's going to devour the whole earth. Going to be a world empire ruled by the Antichrist. Verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the times and the laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of time. This great horn that was the little horn has now become very bold. And he's going to blaspheme God. And he's going to say monstrous things about God. And he's going to declare that he is God. And that he alone is to be worshipped. And he's going to hate the saints. This would be the believing Jews in the trib, but also believing Gentiles. And he's going to persecute them and do all he can to harm them. And he's going to try to change times and laws. Sacred feasts and holy days that are observed by the Jews. He's going to make laws calling good evil and evil good. He's going to repeal the Judeo-Christian system of laws. He's not going to allow you to say Merry Christmas anymore. Because that speaks of Christ. You can say Happy Holiday, but you can't say Merry Christmas anymore when he's in charge. But a divine limit is set on his villainous persecution and lawlessness. It's going to last until a time, that's 1 year, and times, that's 2 more years, and half a time, that's 3.5 years. He's going to be given the last 3.5 years of the tribulation to carry out his evil designs. The last half of the 70th week of Daniel, chapter 9. Once those years have run their course, God's judgment on him will be swift. His reign of terror will come to an end. Gentile rule, which began when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem and the times of the Gentiles began, is going to end. It's going to end by the intervention of God and by the return of the Lord Jesus from heaven. That stone cut out of the mountain without hands. And the court will sit in judgment. And the judge will take his seat, and the beast will be put down, and his rule will be overthrown forever, and his career will come to an end. And the kingdom of God from above will be established on the earth, verse 27. The King of Kings will be enthroned upon his holy hill of Zion, and he will rule the whole world. And his kingdom will have come in. In answer to the Lord's prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Verse 28, here is the end of the matter. Here is the end of the end of the matter had come, and nothing more at this time. But it troubled him greatly, deeply upset because of the terrible trouble ahead for Israel, ahead for his people. It moved him to the depths of his being, by what he had just seen and heard. And he's like the Lord weeping over Jerusalem. Daniel cannot divorce his feelings from the facts of the trouble still to come, especially upon his people Israel. Daniel couldn't, nor should we. But for the believer, the end time judgment will not occur till we've been removed. Till we've been taken out of harm's way. Till we have been taken to glory. Till then, we are to be about the Father's business. We are to be about serving the Lord, warning men and women of the coming judgment. Well, the Lord bless this meditation on his precious word this night. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do bow in your holy presence this evening hour. And we thank you, our Father, for this revelation that you gave to this Jewish prophet, Daniel, regarding things to come. And Father, we in this age, this church age, know that it will end with the rapture, and then this age of judgment will begin. And that there is going to come out of Europe a wicked man, an Antichrist, the Antichrist, who is going to rise to prominence and is going to indeed rule the world for 3.5 years. It's going to be a terrible time for believers. He's going to hate them because he hates God and he hates God's people. And so, Father, although we're not going to be there, we would warn men, even this night, of this coming judgment of God, as time is coming to an end, that they repent and receive Christ as their Savior. Father, we would take a moment now to pray for these that are on the sick list. Think of Tina and commend her unto you as she faces this procedure on Saturday. We pray for her health and for her well-being, our God, and for others. For this Mr. Glazer, we pray that he would repent of his sin and he would receive Christ as his Savior. And for Barb as well, we ask for mercy and that the Holy Spirit of God would convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We thank you now for the refreshments downstairs. We thank you for the hands that prepared it. Dismiss us with thy blessing, we ask, as we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.